that.
There we go.
Oh, I'm on. All right. We're going to be reading from, as we talk about biblical manhood and womanhood tonight, within marriage, we'll be turning to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'll be reading from verses 1 through 7. And Peter writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not merely be external, braiding of the hair and wearing of gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, the former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered." Let's pray. Dear good, gracious, and heavenly Father, we come before you tonight grateful that you have given us your word. Grateful that you allow us to come and gather in a place without fear of persecution, without fear of being arrested, and study your word. Thank you for creating the institution of marriage. Thank you for creating the family. What a great gift. Lord, I pray that as we dig into this passage, that I would not speak my words, for they are irrelevant, but that I would speak your words. That you would keep me from error and bind me to the text as I try to faithfully preach your word. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and our minds and our ears as we deal with what can in this culture be a difficult passage. So Lord, thank you again. You are a good God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Gender is irrelevant. At least that's what I was told. There I was sitting across the room from three students from Hanover College discussing the differences of roles based on gender. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, one of them hits me with this statement, "Gender is relative." This brilliant young college student was trying to convince me that no absolute statements about gender can be made because gender is purely based on the culture that you live in. Of course, we see the problem with that, right? This isn't logical. And it certainly isn't biblical. Genesis tells us that God made him male and female. You don't have to be a doctor to realize there are significant differences between men and women. And it doesn't take long before children start to realize that boy parts are different than girl parts, right? And that's just the beginning. There are significant differences, and that doesn't change. Of course, the confusion should not be unexpected. We see in the book of Genesis that God created the male and female, and that he created a certain way for the home to work. The man as the leader of the family, and the wife who supports him and is his partner in subduing this earth. And then Satan comes into the picture and goes to Eve, and Adam fails miserably in his duty to protect his wife. And sin enters the world. And God comes to Adam and says, "Adam, what did you do?" And what does he say? "It's that woman you gave me, God. It's her fault." And men and women have been fighting ever since, right? They have. And God told us that would happen. God says during the curses that as a natural result of sin, the woman would long for her husband, or her desire would be for her husband. Better translate, her desire would be over her husband. And he would rule her. See, the role, the harmony that God had created was now corrupted by sin. And instead of leading his wife in a loving way, the husband would rule her. And instead of submitting and coming alongside of him and supporting him and respecting him, she would long for leadership. And so now we live in this culture where gender roles are, where people desire to gloss over gender roles. And they desire to act as if gender is irrelevant, as it is relative, to the point that now it doesn't matter if you have two mommies or two daddies or one daddy and one mommy. Gender doesn't matter. It's all the same. And I acknowledge that this is a difficult topic for some. And I acknowledge that men throughout history have used passages like this one to misuse, to demean, to control women. And I acknowledge that men have used passages like this one that we're looking at today to satisfy their twisted notion that women are somehow second-class citizens, good for nothing but bearing children. If you've experienced that, I promise you, you'll hear none of that garbage from me. But not denying that there are certain aspects about how we behave as men and women that are influenced by our culture. Is there anything that we can draw from Scripture about men and women? Are there any roles that God has designed men and women, more specifically husbands and wives, to fulfill in marriage? Well, we've read the passage, and I believe the answer is yes. And though at times it can be a difficult passage, the truth of Scripture is clear. And it must be preached, and it is important. And why is it important? Why is it important? Why even discuss this at all? One, Paul in Ephesians 5 makes it clear that the relationship between a man and a woman is designed to demonstrate for us Christ's relationship with the church. And y'all, what could be more important than Christ and the church? It's the gospel. Two, okay, God created marriage. As the creator of marriage, he has the right, and he alone has the right to tell us what that should look like. And we want to desire to be faithful to that. And three, I want for y'all to have awesome, fulfilling, happy, long-lasting marriages. And I believe that the only way for marriage to be truly fulfilling and happy, and the best way for it to be long-lasting, is to do it God's way. Okay? So that's why we're looking at the passage today that we are looking at. And as we dig into this passage, it is my goal that we would see what God has laid out for us and that we would submit to that. And that we would desire to glorify God in our marriages by being better husbands and better wives. Okay? So let's take a look. First thing we see is in the same way, that should clue us to something. That should tell us that Peter is connecting what he's talking about here to the rest of what has come before it. Okay? So to understand this passage the way it should be understood, I'm going to do a brief overview of what Peter has talked about in the rest of the book. Okay? In the first chapter and a half or so, he talks about this awesome salvation that we've been given, this grace that we have been given by God, this salvation that even angels long to look at. And then he goes on in chapter 2, verse 12, to tell us, because we've been given such grace, okay, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay? So we've been given grace. Because we've been given grace, that should affect our lives. We should look like redeemed people. Okay? And then he goes on to tell us some of what that looks like. And he does this by focusing on different spheres of life. The first sphere is in the government. He says that we as Christians are to submit to the government. Okay? And then servants are to submit to their masters. And then wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. And then finally, church, live in harmony. Live in unity together. Okay? So, when we see the words, in the same way wives, or in the same way husbands, we know that Peter is about to tell us what marriage should look like. What Christians, more specifically, what Christians should look like in marriage. Okay? In the same way does not mean that wives are to submit to their husbands like servants do masters. Not what it means. It doesn't mean that wives are to submit to their husbands like we do the government. What it means is, just like in these spheres you are to glorify God and act like Christians, so too in marriage, wives, husbands, you should look like Christians. You should behave like Christians. Bringing God glory so that others will see the beautiful effects of the gospel. Okay? So he says, wives are to glorify God by submitting to their own husbands. Their own, important word there, husbands. Not every man, but their own husbands. And we're going to talk about what submission is and what submission isn't. Before we do that, I realize that there's a lot of misconceptions about what that means. But before we do that, we're going to look at the source of submission. If you looked at submission like a plant, okay, submission being the flower, we're going to look first at what you could say the roots are. Okay, what submission ultimately flows from. And that is, Peter tells us, hope in God. That's what he says. Women who hoped in God did this. Okay? Women who hoped in a sovereign God. A God who's in control. A God who is good. A God who is gracious. A God who can be trusted. A God who will provide. The almighty creator of the universe, God. This is the God that women who are able to submit, trust in. So submission is about God. Submission is centered on God. It is for God's glory and it is done by his power. Without hope or trust in God, true biblical submission is impossible. I don't mean by that lost women can't submit to their husbands outwardly. I don't mean that. Sure they can. Lost women do that. But true biblical submission is more than just outward submission. It's an attitude of the heart. Okay? It is God taking dead hearts of stone and making them hearts of flesh. Hearts of unsubmissive hearts and making them submissive hearts. Hearts that don't long for God's glory to hearts that do long for God's glory. That is what it takes for true biblical submission. And this trust in God, this hope in God, leads to a certain character. The character could, you might look at it as the soil. Okay, the soil from which submission grows out of. So God, hope in God is the source of submission. That leads to a character. And what is that character? That is a character that understands true beauty. Peter is not telling women they can't wear makeup. Peter's not telling women they can't wear dresses or wear earrings or do their hair. But Peter's time wasn't all that different from ours. And it is impossible to go into a store where there are magazines and not see that we live in a culture that is obsessed with the external. Magazine after magazine after magazine for women that don't have men on them, they have other women. As if to say, this is what you should be focusing on. This is what you should look like. This is what you have hope in. You go into St. Matthew's Mall, and what do you see? A whole wall of women who are practically naked at a store called Victoria's Secrets. This is what you should look like. This is what you should focus on. We live in a culture where men are flooded with images of pornography. And so they have replaced what real women in their minds with plastic figurines. And now that's what they expect their wives to look like. And that's what they focus on. And that's what their wives focus on. And it's a vicious cycle. And Peter's saying, no! Don't do that. That's not what it's about. That will perish. Women, I hate to tell you this, but your bodies, just like all the rest of ours, are affected by sin. And they are on a slow process to decay. External beauty fades. Don't let yourself go. Wear your earrings, wear your makeup, that's fine. Okay? But that's not where your hope lies. That's not where you get your identity. And so the character that God desires, the character that is precious to God, is a character that understands true beauty. And what is that true beauty? That is the hidden person of the heart. What does that mean? The hidden person of the heart. What does that look like? Well, Peter tells us first that it is a character of chastity or purity. Women should be women who are pure. Who are pure sexually, who are pure in every other way, whose desire is for your husband alone. And when people see you and see how you interact with your husband and see your devotion to your husband, they should see someone who's pure. Okay? So purity or chastity. This is a character of respect. Peter says. And this is a good place to deal with this whole Abraham Lord thing. All right, let's look at that real quickly. It says that Sarah submitted to Abraham by calling him Lord. Okay? We don't typically use Lord unless we're in church in today's society talking about God. Okay? And Adonai, which was the Hebrew word for Lord, most certainly can and was used to refer to God. Was, okay? But not just God, okay? Adonai, Lord, was a term of respect. It was a term that you could use for governing authorities. It was a term kind of akin to the way we use sir, okay? In the army, they beat us over the head with don't call enlisted people. Those are the people who really do the work in the army. Don't call them sir. You call them by their rank. Okay? And it was very difficult for me as a brand new officer going into the army not to call some guy who's like 60 sir. Right? So I'm walking up to some command sergeant major shaking in my boots and I'm going to call him sir. And so we just kind of talk about it. We refer to it as the southern sir. Okay? That's just kind of what we got going on here with Lord. Okay? It was a word of respect to her husband, Abraham. Women, do you respect your husbands? Do you belittle them? Do you treat them as if they're stupid? Or do you find the things that they do well and find the things they do that makes you happy and tell them how well they do it and how much that makes you happy? When people see your relationship with your husband, do they see a relationship built on respect? Or just the opposite? Peter says that a woman who submits to her husband, the character that flows from a hope in God is a respectful one. The character of submission is a gentle and quiet spirit. What does this mean? It means that a woman who trusts in God, she can be calm. She can be at peace. She doesn't have to be demanding or nagging. She has a sovereign God. She's at peace. Okay? And finally, this trust in God creates a character that is described as fearless. He tells them not to do what is right, not fearing any fear. Fearless. Let's be honest, submission to a man who, quite honestly, most of the time doesn't deserve submission, be frightening. But not if you serve a God who's in control. Not if you serve a God who will provide. And so God says through Peter, don't fear, don't have a spirit of fear, do what is right. Just do what is right. Okay? And by doing these things, you are children of Sarah, the mother of the faith, he says. It is these things that lead to submission, and it is this that is true beauty. It is this that is beautiful to God, precious to God, and that is what submission is all about. It's not about your husband. I want you to love your husband. I want you to want to please your husband. But if you submit to your husband for him, you're going to fail. Submission is a free gift to God. This is what is precious to God. This is what God desires. Submission, women, is an act of worship to your Creator. It shows love for God. And it does show love for your husband, but it isn't about him. Okay. So, those who submit hope in God. That hope in God leads to a certain character of understanding true beauty. And out of that grows submission. Before we talk about what submission is, let's talk about what biblical submission is not. A lot of misunderstandings, a lot of misconceptions. Let's talk about what it is not. Biblical submission is not putting your husband before God. Submission to Christ is absolute. Absolute. Okay? And we see in Scripture, it is full of examples. This same Peter who is telling wives to submit to their husbands and telling us to submit to governing authorities, when those governing authorities told him to stop preaching the gospel, he said, uh-uh. No, can't do that. I must be faithful to God. Ladies, when your husband asks you to do something contrary to Scripture, the answer is, I love you, honey, but no. I've got to honor God. When he says, let's go look at porn to spice up our love life, the answer is, uh-uh. Sorry. I love you. I want to submit to you, but I must submit to Christ first. When he says, don't go to church, I don't want you going to church on Sunday, the answer is, baby, I got to go to church. I love you, but I got to go to church. Okay, so biblical submission is not putting your husband before God. Biblical submission is not the belief that women are of less worth than men. Genesis 1:27-28 tells us that men and women were created in the image of God, both of them. Okay, they both equally show the image of God. Galatians 3:28 says that before Christ, there's no male or female. This doesn't mean that roles are diminished, gotten rid of. What it means is, before Christ, men and women are equal in worth. And here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, he says, women are fellow heirs of the gospel with men. Okay? Biblical submission is not accepting abuse. Listen, women, if you are in an abusive relationship, please, 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 please come and talk to one of the pastors. Let us help you. That doesn't glorify God at all. Biblical submission is not accepting abuse, ever. Biblical submission is not giving up the ability to think on your own. You don't leave your brain at the wedding altar. Okay? We see all throughout Scripture, women who are able to think on their own apart from men. Deborah and Ruth, Timothy's mother and grandmother who raise him and teach him. And here in verse 1, believing women who do not submit to their husband's unbelief. Their husband rejects the gospel. They accept the gospel. By the grace of God, they can think on their own. Biblical submission is not leaving your mind at the wedding altar. Finally, biblical submission is not slavery. It is not taking orders. It is not forced. As we said, it's a free gift that you give to God. He did command it. You are to freely, in act of worship, give it. Okay? It's not barefoot and pregnant. Not that there's anything wrong with being barefoot or pregnant, as long as you understand it's not all you're good for. Biblical submission is. Biblical submission is giving yourself over to the leadership of your husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 makes it very clear that the husband is the head of the wife. God created it that way. It is affirming and using your God-given abilities to carry out the leadership of your husband. Biblical submission is being gentle and kind instead of demanding control, instead of nagging. Tells us to have a gentle and quiet spirit, verse 4. Biblical submission is showing him respect and bringing him honor instead of talking about all of his faults to your girlfriends. Biblical submission is encouraging and allowing your husband to take spiritual leadership in the home. And he may not be good at this naturally. It may be difficult for him. So encourage him. Encourage him. Tell him, honey, I love it. I love it when you read scripture with us. I love it when you take us to church. When you make that happen. Okay? Encourage your husband to take leadership, spiritual leadership in the home. And biblical submission is something that is done even when it is the hardest thing to do. Now, some of y'all, I've heard this before, and some of y'all might be out there saying to yourself, I would submit to him if he wasn't such a daggone idiot. Well, God doesn't give an escape clause for submission based on idiocy. Sorry. When it's the hardest thing to do, verse 1, women who have unbelieving husbands are still submit to them. Women who have husbands who come up with bad idea after bad idea say to them, listen, baby, I think it's a bad idea. But then submit. Submit to the leadership. Maybe they have, for some reason, their manhood tied up in handling the finances, and you know you could do it better. Tell them, baby, I think if we did this together, we'd be better off. But then submit. You submit even when it's hard. Okay? So wives, submit to your husbands. This is what is precious to God. This is an act of worship that you give to God. God desires for wives to glorify him through fearless submission to the leadership of their husbands. But God doesn't leave the husbands alone. Peter has something to say for them too. Okay? Husbands are to provide for your wives. You are to glorify God by providing for your wives. Providing what? Four things. Intimacy, protection, affirmation, and spiritual leadership. Peter says, live with your wives in an understanding way. What does that mean? Husbands, what makes your wives tick? What makes them happy? What makes them angry? Do you know? What kind of flowers do they like? What kind of music do they like? What are their hopes and their dreams? Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, or as another translation translates it, according to knowledge. I have to admit, I'm a huge country music fan. And one of my favorite female vocalists is Gretchen Wilson. And not that I'm condoning all of her music, but she says in one of her songs, and she's known for more of a tomboy kind of image, a very tough image, and she says in one of her songs, and I know I don't act much like a lady, but I still need to be somebody's baby. Yeah, you might find me making too much noise, but I'm more than just one of the boys. Husbands, your wives aren't one of the boys. They think often different than you do. They react often differently than you do. You need to know that. You need to understand that and treat them in an understanding way. There are times when I feel like my wife is too sensitive. And there have been times when I've told her that in my sin. But when I do that, I am not living with my wife in an understanding way. I don't care if she's being too sensitive. She's upset. So it doesn't matter if she's being too sensitive. Find out why she's upset and then don't do it again. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Secondly, Peter says to honor your wives as the weaker vessel. Some translations, this one says, honor your wives because she's weaker than you are. Okay? What is Peter talking about here? He's obviously not saying that is obviously not saying that women are of lesser value to men. We've covered that. He says honor them. He says they're fellow heirs of the gospel. He's not saying they're stupid. Covered that. What is he saying? He's saying physically, in general, women are weaker than men. That's no surprise to anybody, right? In general, women are less physically strong than men. So how do we honor our wives as the weaker vessel? Well, we don't use our strength against them. We do use our strength to protect them. Men, never, ever, ever, ever use your strength against your wives. I don't just mean abuse. Listen, if you're abusing your wife physically, come and talk to one of the pastors. Let's help you through that, because that's got to stop. Okay? But I mean more than just that. When you get angry, do you punch a wall? Or other things? When you get angry, do you yell at her? Do you scream at her? Do you stare her down? She knows you're stronger than she is. My wife and I, shortly after we were married, we went on a hiking trip. We hiked in 2 miles into the Crawford-Harrison County Forest, and we stayed the night there. And at one point during that trip, I got angry, and I kicked one of the chairs. And I'll never forget what she said to me. She looked me in the eyes and said, "Baby, I don't think you'd hit me. But when you do something like that, there's some doubt. If you would kick a chair out of instinct when you get mad, what would keep you from doing it to me?" Husbands, listen. If we have given our wives any reason to feel unsafe, we failed. Your wives must feel that you are the safest person to be around. Do not use your strength to intimidate your wife. When you get angry, watch how your actions are affecting her. And ask her. She'll tell you. Men are to provide for their wives affirmation. He says, honor them as fellow heirs of the gospel of life. How do we do that? Do your wives feel like she's your partner in this journey of sanctification? In this journey towards growing in Christ-likeness? Does she feel special to you? Does she feel important to you? Does she feel valued by you? You will have no more important confidant than your wife. No more important advisor than your wife. No more valuable critic than your wife. Listen to her and value her. And watch how she helps you grow spiritually. Watch how she helps you become more like Christ. Okay? Provide for her affirmation. When you are walking into St. Matthew's Mall, are you looking at the models? Victoria's Secret's models? Are you paying attention to her? Do you sit in front of your computer looking at porn? Are you satisfied with her? Do you cultivate intimacy in your marriage, showing her that she's important to you? Treat her as a fellow heir of the gospel and your most important partner. Okay? Finally, husbands are to provide for their wives spiritual leadership. Husbands, the most important job you have is to lead your wife before the throne of grace. Okay? This isn't easy a lot of times, and it takes work. But you don't have to be a seminary student. You don't have to be a pastor to do it. Read God's word. Know God's word. When you're stumped on something, come and talk to one of the pastors. Come and talk to Toby, Kate, or me. We'll be happy to sit down and talk with you about it. We're nothing more than to help you be a spiritual leader in your home. Okay? So as she submits, you lead in such a way that doesn't hurt her spiritually, but edifies, but builds her up spiritually. Okay? So, gender is not relative. Gender matters. It matters to God, and it should matter to us. If you're sitting in here and you think, I heard all this before, good, I'm glad. So let this sermon be an encouragement to you to continue growing in that area. Maybe you're sitting there and you're like, and this seems new and strange to you. I just ask you to look at God's word, okay? It isn't my word. My word has no authority. Look at God's word that he so clearly speaks. And I just ask that you submit to it. I just ask that you do what he says, okay? If you're in here tonight and you are lost, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I plead with you, I beg you, come to Christ today. Come and talk to us. Okay? And see what Christ will do for your marriage. See what he'll do for your marriage. Ephesians chapter 5 makes it clear that our relationship as man and wife is supposed to signify, demonstrate Christ's relationship with the church. If I am harsh with my wife, I am lying about Christ. I'm lying about Christ. I'm saying things about Christ that are untrue. But when our marriage is doing what God says it should do, and when she's submitting to my leadership, and when I am leading in a way that is self-sacrificial, keep in mind, Christ died for the church, y'all. He got down on his knees, and he wash the disciples' dirty, stinky, nasty, smelly feet. And when I'm leading my wife like that, the world sees that. And God is glorified, and people are one to Christ because they are much more ready to hear what we have to say when they see our marriage working in harmony like that. When they see me meeting her deepest needs and her meeting my deepest needs, and people are ready to hear. People are ready to listen. And it says something great about Christ and the church. Okay? So I just challenge all of us to want to glorify God by submitting to this. To want to glorify God by being better husbands and wives as he's created us to be. Okay? Let's pray. Dear and gracious Father, I thank you so much for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I pray that you would help me, preaching to myself, Father. I pray that you would help me to be a better husband to my wife. I pray that you would help all of the husbands in here to be better husbands to their wives. And Lord, I pray that the wives, seeing their husbands do what God has called them to do, what you have called them to do, Father, that they would want to submit to that. I pray that even if they don't, even if husbands aren't doing that, that wives would want to glorify you. That wives would see their submission as a gift to you. That they would see their submission as an act of worship to you. And that they would trust in you and fear nothing. Lord, I pray that you would do or continue to do awesome works in this church as we grow, as people are one for the gospel. You are a good God, and I thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.